Hey, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Bodybuilder, groper, and son of a Nazi, Arnold Schwarzenegger was sworn in today as governor of California. Schwarzenegger, who campaigned against special interest groups, said today that he was ready to take on the massive weight we must lift off our state. Schwarzenegger was sworn in holding the 192-year-old Kennedy family Bible with Maria in tow. The 56-year-old action hero gave an 11-minute speech in which he invoked Kennedy, Reagan, and equated himself to JFK as a, quote, idealist without illusion. Joining us to talk about the new governor is Carmen Balber. She's a consumer advocate with the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. Carmen, welcome to Flashpoints.
Thanks for having me, Dennis.
Well, it's good to have you with us. First of all, tell us about the banner that you all unfurled to greet him.
Today, and it's actually just passing by me right now, we unveiled a 20-foot moving billboard on the back of a truck announcing our new website, arnoldwatch.org. It's been driving around the Webster's Dictionary definition of special interest to let Governor Schwarzenegger know that his narrow definition of special interest, which doesn't include any of the people that contributed to his campaign, isn't California's definition of special interest.
Well, talk a little bit about special interest, what you mean by it and what he seems to mean.
Governor Schwarzenegger pledged that he would be the governor for the people, not the special interests. He's carved out of his definition, however, the big business interests that gave money to his campaign, the big developers, the finance companies, the Chamber of Commerce interests that pushed him into office. So we're here to remind him that here in California, those people are the special interests that the book is concerned about, and we'll be tracking his pledge to sweep them out of Sacramento and holding them accountable to his campaign.
Well, what can we say just based on his campaign and his appointments in terms of what special interests he might favor?
Well, we've definitely had a few indications of some of those very interests. His chief of staff is an HMO executive. The man he appointed as his chief legislative liaison is the Chamber of Commerce's top lobbyist. Definitely two huge special interests that have worked against public interests here in California, and an indication that they'll have a voice in the governor's office. A real concern because it looks as if every piece of major legislation will be filtered through the interests of big business before they reach the governor.
Well, say a little bit more about why it's not good to have this particular person with the Chamber of Commerce. We, of course, need commerce and business in California. He said that he doesn't want to chase the businessmen out anymore.
I think the key to that question is the fact that the Chamber of Commerce really represents the biggest businesses and the biggest corporations in California. Far from helping out the small guy and small businesses that are struggling to get along in California, the Chamber is representing some of the biggest interests, HMOs, financial companies, energy companies, that are not working in the interests of California. The governor's first meal as governor was at a Chamber of Commerce-sponsored luncheon and bodes really poorly for the public voice being heard in his office.
You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We're talking about the new California governor. Now, we heard, and it came through your organization, that Mr. Schwarzenegger had a meeting with the CEO of the former Enron Corporation. Enron has now become the symbol for corporate crime in America. Do we know anything more about that meeting, his close relationship with Bush? After all, Ken Lay was Bush's key fundraiser, and how will we monitor that?
We brought the emails that proved that Arnold Schwarzenegger had met with Ken Lay in the height of the energy crisis, although he claimed that he didn't remember that meeting, and he's now come out with one of his few definitive policy plans to further expand deregulation here in California, and we think that's a grave mistake. The public obviously saw that deregulation was an unmitigated disaster here in California. We had blackouts and skyrocketing energy prices. And for the new governor to put himself in bed with Ken Lay, Enron, the biggest corporate crook of the century, is certainly anti what the consumers are looking for here in California.
Arnold Schwarzenegger is the new governor. You were there. You're in Sacramento now. Did you find anything about what he said in his 11-minute speech, or perhaps he surprised people with some of the things he said?
Well, you know, I'd like to be able to answer that. However, the governor didn't invite the public to his inauguration. So along with the rest of the crowd who were crowded outside of the fence, we were outside, locked out of the inauguration. So I heard very little of what the governor had to say. The people in the audience were the business interests and the Hollywood entertainers that helped get him elected. So as far as what he said today, frankly, I just can't comment. I would guess that it was more of the same of what he's been saying. And I really think that this governor has set the bar high for himself. He has said he will sweep these special interests out of Sacramento, and the public is expecting that from him.
We're speaking with Carmen Balber. She is a consumer advocate with the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights. And you all have initiated a website, www.arnoldwatch.org. What's that for?
It is to keep an eye on the hidden hand of special interests in the governor's administration. It has several key points. We'll have a weblog that people can sign up for online to receive by email that will keep an eye and keep people informed as to what we see, special interests and big business influence on the governor. There'll be a tip line that people can phone or email anonymously if they see hints of special interest influence. We've also got a feature, the governor's 21-200 Club, which lists all of the contributors to the governor who gave the maximum amount of money, $21,200, and we'll be looking at what they may be expecting in return, as well as pointing out some of his key policy positions in the areas that we work on, energy, health care, corporate accountability, the things that the public are really interested in.
Well, now, as you point out in your press release, his version of special interests include labor unions and Native American tribes. He has he campaigned on the fact that he's going to get tough with the Native Americans. He is tired of these unions destroying the environment for business. What actions will he be taking specifically dealing with, do you think, dealing with Native Americans and unions?
Well, I think as far as gambling interests go, the governor has a slight misperception. He doesn't understand that Native American tribes are sovereign nations. They have every right to deal with the state and negotiate as they have with previous administrations for years. So what he'll be able to do in that respect is really up in the air. And I think that the governor also has to realize, as far as unions go, that they represent a huge number of regular California workers. And to help out business and to help out Californians, we also have to be helping out the workers that are making those businesses run.
Now, you talked earlier about Arnold's desire to have more deregulation. Apparently, he feels with the Bush administration that the problem was not deregulation. It was not enough deregulation. And I imagine he's copacetic with the energy bill that's going through Congress today.
I think you're probably right, although I don't think I've heard him come out publicly on that energy bill, and I think that's just entirely out of step with what the average Californian knows and understands, that deregulation was a total failure here in California, and to expand it as the energy bill in Congress would do would be a huge mistake. We've seen what that can cost us. What the state needs now is more public regulation to keep energy affordable and reliable that deregulation simply can't do.
Well, when he says more deregulation, what does he mean and how could that impact?
Well, there are certainly efforts that have been pushed around by the legislature for years now after the energy crisis and defeated that would expand what's called direct access, which would allow big businesses to opt out of the public utility system and leave the rest of the consumers paying the bill for the overpriced energy contracts that Gray Davis signed. I think there's also another huge concern. The state right now is fighting to get at least $9 billion back that the energy companies stole from California in overpriced energy during the energy crisis. And Arnold has yet to commit to continuing that fight forcefully. And I think that's really something that Californians should expect from Arnold, that we should hold those energy companies that were profiteering in the state accountable.
Well, how would he justify dropping the ball on $9 billion of Californians' money?
Good question. I don't think there is justification for it. And the Bush administration certainly has not been in favor of returning that money to California. But every California politician, including some from the governor's own party, have been pushing to get that money returned to California. So I don't think there is any excuse for dropping that suit and for allowing that money to stay in the hands of companies that ripped us off.
Now, he also talked about, when he talks about his responsibility, that he's ready to take on the massive weight we must lift off our state. He talked about immigrants and illegal immigrants, and while he's been somewhat subtle, he certainly, one of his first vows is to remove the licenses made available that Gray Davis signed for immigrant workers. What do we know about that? Has he already made the move?
As far as I know, he hasn't. Right now, I think he's at luncheon following his luncheon with the Chamber of Commerce. I think the key issue in that regard is that Arnold has pledged to help business in California, to help bring jobs back to the state. You can't bolster California businesses by hurting the workers that work in them. And everyone in the state knows that immigrants, illegal or not, play a big role in the California economy and are really critical to keeping the economy running. So punishing those people is a bad move.
In conclusion, what are you asking activists, progressives to do? What kind of actions are you taking, planning? How are you preparing to monitor, go after Arnold, keep an eye on him?
Go to arnoldwatch.org. They can sign up for the weblogs and they can sign up to get active. Obviously, the next move that the governor is going to make isn't clear yet. He's called the legislature back into session tomorrow, so there will be future actions planned according to the way the governor conducts himself. So we would just urge everyone to go to arnoldwatch.org and sign up to get involved and to send us any tips that they have on possible special interest influence on the administration.
There was one other thing I wanted to ask you about. We heard perhaps from a half dozen more women about groping. We heard from the California Attorney General that Schwarzenegger should do something about all these complaints. Has he taken any action to answer those women who feel that they've been groped, illegally touched by Schwarzenegger?
Well, that is something that I'm not privy to all of the details on. I know that there was a group of women protesting outside of the inauguration today with Code Pink demanding a independent investigation. And I certainly think that although Schwarzenegger has pledged to hire his own private investigation, anything that is within the administration really won't get to the root of the problem. And so definitely an independent investigation outside of Schwarzenegger's inner circle is something that's called for. As far as I know, he hasn't agreed to that yet.
All right, Carmen Belber, you're a consumer advocate with the Foundation for Taxpayer and Consumer Rights in Southern California, and we thank you for joining us from Sacramento on this day of the inauguration of the new governor. Thanks for being with us.
No problem, thanks, Dennis.
And for those of you listening in the Bay Area, there is a free event tomorrow evening. That is Tuesday, November 18th at 7 p.m. Michael Parenti will be presenting When America Rules the World, Corporate Globalism versus Democracy. Again, that is tomorrow evening at 7 p.m. at Room 155, Dwinnell Hall on the UC campus. That is offered by the Associated Students of Vista Community College. And that does wrap it up for another edition of Flashpoints, which airs every weekday and is produced by Dennis Bernstein, with senior producer Christopher Sprinkle, associate producer Nora Barros-Friedman, roving producer Miguel Molina, and contributing producers Robert Knight and Solange Echeverria. Our technical director is Mary Bishop. To comment on today's program, please contact us at flashpoints@kpfa.org. For a taped copy of this broadcast, please call 510-848-6767, extension 625. An archive of our recent show can be heard on the web at www.flashpoints.net. Many thanks to our webmasters, Kevin Purcell and Brad Smith, and thank you for listening.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT Houston. Coming up next, Queer Voices.
You listen to KPFT, you enjoy some of our fine programming, and you have done your part to keep us commercial free by calling in a pledge of support. Hats off to you for taking that first step. But before you settle into that fantastic feeling, don't forget, you'll need to send in that pledge of support to finalize your promise to KPFT. But be warned, that fantastic feeling will soon follow. Thanks for supporting KPFT Houston.
There's a motor running. Hey. That's right. Get your motors running on Saturday, November 22nd to Ronnie's Ice House. James Nagel, the Blues Hound, has put together a fantastic poker run with bike games, bike show, car show, food and fun, and the best live music in Texas. The first bike's out at 11, and the last bike's in at 4. It's a $5 donation per person. The pot splits 50-50, 50% to the best hand, and 50% to KPFT. It's a great benefit and a win-win for everybody. So get your motors running on Saturday, November 22nd at Ronnie's Ice House in Dickinson. For more information, go to the KPFT website, kpft.org, or just call Ronnie's in Dickinson at 281-309-0599. We'll see you at the Biker Run.
At 90.1 FM, this is KPFT in Houston. And now, Houston's only primetime radio program dedicated to news and concerns of the lesbi, gay, and transgender identity. This is Queer Voices.
Good evening. It's 72 degrees in Houston, and hope you're safe, warm, and dry, and not on the roads tonight. We're not quite sure what's coming up in the show tonight because a lot of our guests may not be able to make it tonight, but what we hope is Ken Jones will be here from the Houston Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus talking about the upcoming runoff election. We'll be talking to the people who are doing Stops, a show playing at Theater New West. And Peter Brown will be here, who is one of the candidates endorsed by the Houston Gay and Lesbian Political Caucus. J.D. has a Pansy Division sort of little segment going for us because they're going to be in town next week, next Wednesday at the 26th at Fitzgerald's. You are, of course, listening to Queer Voices, but first we go to London to listen to the BBC News now.
BBC News with Jackie Leonard. Unprecedented levels of security have been imposed on central London for a state visit by President George Bush, who arrives in Britain on Tuesday evening. Nearly three times as many police officers as originally envisaged will be deployed to tackle security concerns. But protesters against the war in Iraq will, after all, be allowed to march past Parliament, potentially within shouting distance of Mr. Bush. Our British Affairs correspondent Rachel Ellison has this report.
In response to demands from the White House, London's Metropolitan Police has increased the number of officers covering President Bush's visit from 5,000 to 14,000. Added to that are hundreds of American special agents and 80 members of the elite British SAS Special Forces. The SAS has spent the past 2 months checking buildings and vantage points along the route George Bush will take through London. During his visit, the police will deploy helicopters, horses, and fast response mobile units to deal with any crowd trouble from several planned anti-war, anti-Bush protests.
An Italian member of the US-led provisional authority running Iraq has resigned, saying he disagrees profoundly with its decisions. Marco Calamai worked in Nasiriya, where 19 Italians were killed in a bomb attack last week. He said mistaken policies had contributed to the attack. Liam McSheffrey reports.
Marco Calamai told reporters in Nasiriya that he had become completely disillusioned with the US-led authority headed by Paul Bremer. He blamed what he called its failure to understand the complexities of Iraqi society. Mr. Calamai added that reconstruction projects that were promised and financed didn't materialize because the central authority in Baghdad sidelined local town councils. Mr. Calamai said that only an interim authority headed by the United Nations could turn things around. A U.S. State Department official, Richard Boucher, dismissed Mr. Calamai's comments, saying that the United States believed it had made excellent progress in several areas in the rebuilding of Iraq.
The United Nations says it's suspending work in southern and eastern Afghanistan following the killing of a French employee in the southern provincial capital Ghazni on Sunday. A UN spokeswoman said security arrangements would be reviewed. In the meantime, UN operations in northern Afghanistan would continue. You're listening to the news from the BBC in London. President Jacques Chirac of France has announced a $7 billion urban regeneration program for predominantly Muslim areas of French cities where poor living conditions are blamed for fueling a wave of anti-Semitism among disaffected Muslim youths. At an emergency cabinet meeting convened after a Jewish school was firebombed at the weekend, Mr. Chirac set up a ministerial commission into what he called the new anti-Semitism. The former bodybuilder and film star Arnold Schwarzenegger has been sworn in as governor of California. He told the guests at his inauguration in the state capital that he had an immigrant's optimism and believed in the Californian dream. Reporting from Sacramento, Robert Nisbet.
As the state flag and the stars and stripes fluttered above the state capitol, Arnold Schwarzenegger was sworn in as California's 38th governor. 7,000 guests and 700 journalists looked on as the Austrian-born actor took the oath of office. In his inaugural address, he appealed for both Democrats and Republicans to work together to resolve California's $25 billion budget deficit. He's assembled a transition team, including the former budget director of Florida, and has ordered an emergency meeting of state legislature to address the fiscal crisis.
One of the two men accused of taking part in sniper attacks in the United States, in which 10 people were killed, has been convicted of murdering one of the victims. After a three-week trial, a jury in Virginia found 42-year-old John Allen Muhammad guilty of killing a man at a petrol station in the Washington area in October last year. He was also convicted of several other charges, including taking part in multiple murders and terrorizing the population, a new offense passed following the September the 11th attacks of 2001. Doug Duncan, chief executive of the area worst affected by the killings, applauded the jury's verdict.
We caught the right people, evidence was presented at a fair trial, and the jury reached a fair verdict of guilty. So let me just again say thank you to the members of the jury who deliberated, who sat through an awful lot of very emotional testimony and came to their decision today.
The jury will now decide whether Muhammad should be sentenced to death. His alleged accomplice, 18-year-old Lee Malvo, is being tried separately. BBC News.
This is Queer Voices.
Good evening, this is Jack Falinski.
And I'm Glenn Holt.
And we are Joan-less and J-D-list tonight because...
J-D-list.
J-D-list, yes. Joan is on a work assignment somewhere, and J-D is finally home because the roads were really bad. I think it took like 3 hours to get home. But J-D will be here on CD.
I was saying earlier that if it's a good thing that Joan isn't here, because if Joan was here, she wouldn't be here.
Yes, because Joan works in NASA and lives in Katy, and that's like...
That would have been impossible today.
Yes, very much so.
In fact, looking at the at all the reports on the roads, if you're in town and your home is outside of town, you're out of luck, because the only direction that's open at this point is south. And knowing how the feeder roads on I-45 south flood, if you head south on I-45, you might end up in Galveston.
Yes, well, sometimes it's good not to be working.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't have that problem. And actually, I was out of town on a job interview in Michigan Saturday and Sunday, and it was interesting. Different weather up there.
And if you live along Cypress Creek, there's an EBS warning because of major flooding happening there. Otherwise, around town, all of the bios are quickly approaching their bankfull stage. And, of course, all of the low-lying areas, the underpasses and so on, a lot of them are flooded. Along Allen Parkway, it's flooded, so the exits off of the freeway down into that area are closed. So, basically, if you're on the freeway trying to get out of town, you're going to be sitting there for a while. So
you may be a captive audience.
That's right, a captive audience.
Well, and usually we have This Way Out. We have News Wrap and two other segments, but it wasn't recorded by the station personnel today, so we don't have it. It comes off the satellite at 1:30, and if the switches aren't turned to the right place, we don't get it. Hopefully they're going to fix that, but I'm not sure it is fixable, but we will hope it will be. We can get the show on Wednesday by downloading it off the computer, but it makes News Wrap out of date, but we will save the segments to play in the future if they're not out of date.
Right. They make good feature segments sometimes.
And of our other guests, we're not sure who's going to be here, but we will proceed on as we
those who can wade through the flooding.
Yes. So, and luckily the station's on the air because, you know, either the transmitter site or the studio site could lose power or get flooded out, and we don't have any backups.
And actually, there's nothing to say that that won't happen yet, because even though things are looking pretty Allison-like out there right now, there is actually another severe line of thunderstorms headed this way and could be here anytime within the next half hour to, say, hour or so.
Well, what we do think we will have on tonight is the Stops, which is a musical, and they're going to be here live singing. And a little bit later on, we're going to be talking to Fred from the Buzz Club because they're moving. And later on in the second hour, we're going to be talking to Peter Brown, who's running for Houston City Council, position number 3. So we think that all is going to happen. And, of course, J.D. segment on the Pansy Division, we have that.
That's safely on CD.
Yes.
So, provided the JD's CD burner worked.
Right. A couple other things that are going on. There's a great website called QUEEY.com, and you can, on there, they have a listing of TV shows for the week. And their pick of the week is Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. It's their second season already.
Wow.
Also, which I realized today, is HBO is going to be premiering their version of Angels in America in December. And that looks like a pretty great event for HBO.
Now, did you see where one of the other networks was trying to do a spin-off of Queer Eye? They're going to take gay men and straight men are going to try to teach them how to act butch.
I think Comedy Central was going to do that as sort of a spoof.
It would have to be a spoof.
Yes, yes. As one. And not that all of us have those genes anyway.
Right.
A couple other announcements. Of course, the election's coming up. The runoff, the early voting starts Wednesday and goes through December 2nd. The endorsement list, you can get that from the hglpc.org site. And the actual election is December 6th on a Saturday. And a couple other things. What else is going on? Well, Joan has been busy writing in the Triangle, if you want to catch what she's doing. So that's all coming up.
Well, and the internet is working still, so we will have some news for you, just not the full package.
Okay. But let's. I've got some music lined up. You know, since JD isn't here, I get to play a little bit of the stuff that I don't get to play anymore because JD is so good at selecting the music. But this comes from Falsetto Land, which was a play that was done about a guy and his lover, and one of them ends up, you know, passing away because of AIDS. But it's dealing with the whole situation of getting together and family, et cetera, et cetera.
Stink when I must, but goddamn, I'm just professional, never too nonchalant. If I'm a bitch, well, I am what I am. Just call me Doc, don't call me Lady. I don't like to talk when I'm losing the game. Bachelors arrive sick and frightened. They leave weeks later unenlightened. We see a trend, but the trend has no name. Something bad is happening, something very bad is happening. Something stinks, something immoral, something so bad that words have lost their meaning. Rumors fly and tales abound, stories that go underground. Something bad is spreading, spreading, spreading.
Tell me how it tastes, tell me if it's good. And wound my pride.
Just stop.
You're feeling very sick inside, I can tell. And it's something I cooked. I just knew how you looked. Look what I've done to my doctor. She's my doctor. And I love her. She's got passion. She's intelligent. And Jesus Christ, a doctor. Very wealthy. And I love her. Doctor of internal medicine. I'm sorry that you're queasy.
I'm uneasy.
She's got something on her mind that makes her nervous.
This is fucking ridiculous.
She's my doctor and I love her. She's
I scan the man. Next to the mums, fashion and passion and failure. But not a word about the killer. I like the ball gowns, but Jesus Christ.
Something bad is happening.
Something very bad is happening.
virus has been found. Stories echo underground. Something bad is spreading.
I was sure growing up I would live the life my mother assumed I'd live. Very Jewish, very middle class, and very straight. Where healthy men stayed healthy men, and marriages were long and great. I smile, I don't complain. I'm trying to keep sane as the rules keep changing. Families aren't what they were. There's a husband and a child whom I adore. But then there's more. So many more. There's always more. Life is never what you planned. Life is moments you can understand. Shifting, keeping my balance square, trying not to care about this man whom Marvin loves. But that's my life. He shared my life. Yes, that's my life. Life is never what you planned. Life is moments you can understand.
Is Queer Voices. Indeed it is on this rainy and floody evening. However, we do have Fred Walters from the Buyers Club. You're listening to Queer Voices. I'm Glenn Holt, and Fred is here to talk about how things are going to change at the Buyers Club coming up fairly soon. And it's about time, too, I might say, because you've been so cramped in that little space, and your business hours have been so short, it's real hard to get in there to actually take advantage of the service that you're offering. So, first of all, what is the Buyers Club?
Houston Buyers Club is a vitamin store that looks like a vitamin store. Like, we don't look any different than GNC or Movable, or, well, I should just stop right here. And we don't look any different than any other vitamin store. Sorry about that. But the difference is we give away nutritional supplements for free, mainly with private grants that the community gives us, like Kindred Spirits, which is a dance put on to host it's a lesbian dance, and they have beneficiaries, and so some of that money will come to us to help fund nutritional supplements for women who are suffering horrible side effects from their medications or other disease. And you know, we give money away, we give nutritional supplements away, paid for by, you know, individual donations or other groups. But the other difference is that when you walk into our place and you say, I have a side effect, say neuropathy, we're going to know a lot of times, not all the time, but we're going to know about the drug interactions. We're going to know what might cause some of the side effects because of the disease or because of some of the drugs that you have to take. And then the other is when you walk into our place, we have a little bit of a sense of confidentiality, or that people want to keep their disease to themselves and not necessarily broadcast it to the other shoppers in the store. So those three things, we sell it. We have a store where we give away nutritional supplements, confidentiality, and knowledge about it. And then the other piece that not a lot of people know is that we're also open to the public. So anyone can buy from us. You don't have to be sick or have a disease to purchase from us.
And you also have a website, and the website has some really good information on the kind of stuff you've been talking about if you can't actually get into the store to talk to somebody.
Yes. The website has our side effects guide on it. It's HoustonBuyersClub.org. And if you have any kind of a side effect from illness, then go to that, and you'll get at least some basic knowledge. Now, it's written in the orientation of someone having HIV, but a lot of times it applies to people
that don't. I have side effects from getting old.
I have something for that.
I'm sure
See
you
me later.
I'm sure you do.
But a lot of, like, some of the side effects that we help people with came from the study. One of those examples is neuropathy. They've been studying that for years, the effects of nutritional supplements on diabetes. So we, you know, our science editors borrow from that. But I guess I really want to tell people some really, really good news about the Buyers Club, and that is...
Fine, go ahead and jump ahead of your interview.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, go right ahead.
It's that, you know, you talked about that building that you have to go up, and you know, if you're lucky,
duck because the ceilings are low. Yeah,
and you
have to push the elevator up. Yeah.
Well, yeah, but you don't have to step over the poor homeless people in our lobby right now, which happens every day.
Yeah.
And you don't have to deal with the folks that like to sleep in our hallway smoking a cigarette at night. So that was another reason we're moving. But no, I was going to say, you're lucky you're not having Nick at the Buyers Club when it was at my house.
Because
okay. It actually started in my closet at home. Actually, my best friend, I lived with my best friend, and he's actually the one who hosted the origin of the Buyers Club. We started with 6 items on a shelf, and now we have like 1,000 items in about 3 dozen shelves. So it's come quite the
Listen
way.
Listen up, kiddies. This is how you start your own business.
And then there's the escorting on the side. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But the reason we're excited about it is because we're going to be on the ground floor. We're going to be on a street level. You just pull your car up and you walk 10 feet and boom, you're in the store. Rather than, you know, parking in that scary garage, walking over the homeless people that might be dead, going in, you know, and then you got to pass by the sewer, by the way, mm-hmm. which is always a pleasant thing to do.
Right.
And then you have to press the elevator button and hope
and
that it makes
so
it up.
And that's so hard to do. It is so hard to
it's
press
It's not
that
so
button.
Much that, it's hoping that it actually makes it
that's
to the
right.
sixth
that's,
floor.
That's why I said you have to get in and push.
I've actually gotten stuck in there several times, and I called the little elevator phone, mm-hmm. and it goes to their answering service.
That's always helpful. Please call back during normal business hours.
I know. It's pretty scary, but...
So you're moving to a new location. Where is it?
Well, it's right behind... The address is 3024 Yoakum. That's 3224. I tend to mutter sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right behind Cabo's, the new Cabo's on Westheimer, and across the street from Half Price Books.
Oh, okay.
So what we're hoping is that we'll be able to pay for our rent. With, you know, all the illegal drug deals and the escorting service. No, but
that you'll be running out of the back door.
Uh-huh. No, we're hoping to pay for our rent because, you know, our rent is going to jump quite a bit. But we're hoping that as people pass by going to Half Price Books or to Cabo's, that they'll see us and come in and want to support us because we're a nonprofit. We moved to the ground floor for 2 reasons. One, to be more visible in the community. You wouldn't believe how many times we try to recruit volunteers or board members, and they say, who? Houston? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and it's like, well, we're in that Sky Bar on the. I don't know you. I've never heard of you, and so we want to be more visible. We want to attract more volunteers, and we want to attract resources. And the way to do that is to get in front of people's faces, and it's going to remind them that HIV has not gone away. The side effects have not gone away, and not just in HIV, but in other illnesses. You wouldn't believe how many times doctors send their patients to us with illnesses other than AIDS or HIV.
Like beriberi.
Beriberi, what? Okay. I get your humor, but I didn't get that one.
It's a tropical disease. So. Anyway.
But it's. I was in there today, and I'm so excited because it's all painted. We got the floors stripped and waxed. It was funny because everyone was ignoring me today, and I said, I got to go down to meet the strippers and the waxers. And everyone, strippers? They're strippers? No.
Yeah, you're going to have strippers at the new location. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's going to give us a lot more room to have privacy to meet with clients one-on-one. We do provide...
Also, you're going to have those little lap dance booths as well.
Yes, with the little coin slots and the automatic folding screens. Yeah. I've heard of those. I've never been to
I was going to say, I have no idea what you're talking about.
But we're going to have like 800 more square feet, and we're supposed to have a gentleman who's actually one of our founders. I shouldn't say founder. I'm the founder. One of our mentors, heroes. He was the person who really inspired the Buyers Club, or the finding of it. And Nelson Virgil is his name, and he's going to actually be able to provide a lot of assistance to people who want to learn how to gain more muscle or more body mass. He'll be able to do, I don't know what it's called. It's that machine where you put an oxygen tube in your mouth and it measures your, I guess, the oxygen in your blood or your body, or it'll measure your resistance or stamina or something like that.
Is it puts you on something like a cycle and you,
yes,
do the exercise,
yes,
and it measures your VO2 max? And,
that's it.
Okay.
So, and then he'll be able to measure lean body mass. We also will have a registered dietitian on site that will be in two days a month, and she'll be able to provide nutritional counseling and give guidance on the choices of supplements. So it'll give us more room for our programs. It'll give us more room to put more supplements, because, you know, the longer we've been in this, the more we find that people are sensitive to certain supplements, and you can't just take a vitamin C. Not everyone can handle that. They have to have something that buffers that to keep, because it's sometimes hard on your stomach. And sometimes you can't take a multivitamin with iron, because, you know, if you have liver issues, iron burdens the liver. So there's all these little tweaks and nuances in the vitamin industry that we learn as we go along. And that's why, you know, we don't carry 1,000 different types of vitamin C's, but we will carry maybe 3 or 4. And so we need room to expand. We need room to do that.
I actually was in your store last weekend, and I had to wait for somebody to get out of the way so I could open the door, and then I had to climb over them to get through to the stacks to get to where I wanted to go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, it's pretty crowded in there right now. People are amazed that we've gotten so much stuff in that little tiny space.
And why do you have cat litter? Cat litter in a,
yes,
supplement store.
Yes, we do. This is actually really a really good story.
Okay, I want to hear this.
I was at a trade show with a volunteer in Austin. And, you know, we were both tired. And I rounded the corner and I saw all these really cute pictures of kitty cats. And of course, Ellen and I both love cats, and we both went, oh, look at the little kitties.
Jack, I think I just found another home for one of my kittens.
And so we went up to the guy and I said, why do you have cat litter at a vitamin show? And he says, well, because, I'm not going to tell you what he said, but let me tell you the reason why we carry it. If you look on the back of every cat litter bag, it says, if you have an immune problem, or if you are pregnant, or both, then do not change this cat litter, or wear a mask and gloves when you change the cat litter. And the reason is, if your cat has a disease called toxoplasmosis. The toxoplasmosis will get in the litter, and when you go to change the litter, the silica dust that rises up as you change it.
Believe me, it does rise up, yes.
It gets into your nostrils and you breathe it in, and that toxoplasmosis gets into your system and then eventually into your brain. And it actually just poisons your brain and you die from it.
Oh, that's what's been happening. Okay.
So
well, now I understand.
So this cat litter that we got, I said to everyone, oh God, this is going to sell like hotcakes. I think we've sold one bag. And, two bags, maybe.
And how does this cat litter prevent toxoplasmosis?
Well, the cat litter is made of corn. And it's ground up. And it's not only is it natural, but it doesn't have silica dust in it. And so if you have an immune problem or if you're pregnant, it's not going to rise up and
so
get into your
not
system.
Not only do you get the effluent smell of the cat's effluent, you also get the smell of the corn rotting. And
well, actually, you would think so, but I tested it on my own cat who was going through tomcat stage, and it really does absorb the urine really well. I mean, so much so that I bought a lot of it. I've bought a lot of it myself from the store.
You know, the main thing for me is if it would just not dust up as much as the normal stuff.
Yeah.
Because the dust goes everywhere. I mean, you think cat fluff gets everywhere.
Right.
Cat litter dust goes everywhere in your house, too.
Well, I'll tell you what. I'll buy you a bag, and you can try it for yourself.
Okay.
But, yeah, that's why we got it, because of the toxoplasmosis and pregnant women, actually. So that's why we carry it. And we don't really have a place to really give it its honor, to display it. So it's just kind of thrown in a corner right now.
But believe me, it is noticeable, because that was one of the first things that I noticed the first time I walked into the store. you're looking for vitamins, and here all of a sudden is cat litter right in front of you. And
yeah.
It's like, okay, natural cat litter.
I know.
You normally think of cat litter as being made out of clay or something, and so you think that's pretty natural. But
yeah.
Okay.
I want to announce that this is the first year that Houston Buyers Club will actually be able to march in the parade.
You know, I really should mention that you're listening to KPFT in Houston, and this is Queer Voices, and I'm talking with Fred Walters from the Buyers Club, and even though we were talking about cat litter, we're actually talking about supplement and the fact that that your store is going to be moving to a new location, and now you're talking about that you're actually going to be in the parade, too.
Yes, and, you know, I love it that I'm going to be on the parade route, sort of, like 20 feet.
And okay.
But, you know, for most of our history, it's only been like two people. And, I think this time we're actually going to have four staff members, because we just hired people last week. And we'll have a few more volunteers this year. So we'll actually be able to have a real float. Also, I can't say who yet, but one of our suppliers, vitamin suppliers, is going to get us a very famous bodybuilder to come to our grand opening.
A very famous bodybuilder.
Very famous gay bodybuilder.
Okay,
I can't say who it is.
There can only be 10,000 of those, huh?
Well, he's pretty famous.
Pretty famous.
Yeah.
Okay, and pretty.
Oh, yeah.
Very pretty.
Yeah.
Okay, good. He's going to be on your float.
Oh, I don't know about that.
I guess
I can ask. Yeah.
But he's going to be at the opening of the new
yes.
store.
Okay. Our opening is going to be Thursday, January 15th.
Wow.
But we're going to open...
Right.
For business,
the grand opening is January 15th.
Yeah, grand opening is the 15th of January, but we'll be open. We're going to close this Friday at 7 p.m.
Which is the reason why I actually have you on here today talking about it.
Oh, that's right. Oh, God, I forgot about that.
Yeah, because you're going to close the store and nobody's going to be able to get anything.
That's right. So you've got to get in this week. We're going to close Friday at 7 and we won't open again until Thanksgiving Friday, the 28th. So we're only going to be closed like 6 days.
Okay. But like any good supplier, if they really need something, they can call you up.
Yes. Call us up? Yeah. To be honest, if people come and, you know, if they come during business hours and we're not too terribly swamped, then yeah.
And if they help to pack.
Yeah. Oh, we got inventory coming up. Maybe we can make them count.
There you go.
We'll do.
Yeah. Yeah, because you got to inventory all the stuff. You got to pack it. You got to carry it over to the new place.
You wouldn't believe, you know, when we got
into this. You don't need any volunteers to help with any of that. You're just going to do all that yourselves.
Well, we have to. We actually have two other volunteers. We're going to have six people doing inventory with us. So we got that set, but we do need volunteers. We need people to answer the phones. You wouldn't believe how many different questions people can ask. You know, and which it's okay. We're happy to help them. It's just that we don't get any work done because we're all answering the phones.
Right.
So we need help.
Then you have customers walking in skimpy clothing, that see-through clothing that
yes,
distracts you as well.
That too. Mm-hmm. Actually, we do have one day of the week, and I never know what day it's on, mm-hmm. but we call it Gorgeous Man Day.
Okay.
And that's the day when all the hot men come into the Buyers Club because they all want their protein bodybuilding supplements.
Well, I want to know what that day is.
Well, we thought we would be like Rome in Italy, and every time we realize it's Gorgeous Man Day, we would just release the white smoke into
the
air.
All right. That works.
Yeah. Or we'd have a bat signal in the sky, something like that.
Or, well, actually, we're high tech now. You know, you can do this thing with the pagers where it sends out this little...
Oh, yeah.
Little beep, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Quick, come to the Buyers Club.
We are going to, for the opening, I think what we're going to do is, I've got three friends of mine who are pretty good looking, and who are going to have people standing in our parking spaces on Yoakum. Mm-hmm. We have like seven spaces. And we're going to have women too. We're going to have, we have a woman that's the rep for Metrics. She's going to come. And then we have some other friends of mine that are trainers. The guys are going to be shirtless with bow ties and black slacks. And the women are going to be in sports tops. That's all I know how to say.
Right.
And serving drinks, you know, and getting attention from the crowd. So it's going to be quite the party. Cabos is going to, I've been told, they're going to donate the food for our opening, and then maybe possibly a little tiny bit of alcohol, maybe. But that's going to be really nice. Mm-hmm. So we have lots of people coming together to make this a... actually, we're coming up on our eighth year of serving the community.
Now, Cabos is the place that's kind of a catty corner across from Mary's, and they advertise the fish tacos.
Yes.
Okay, that place.
Yes. You know, it's kind of funny because when we tell people we're moving, where are you moving to? You know, I said, well, do you know where Cabos is? No.
Fish tacos.
Do you know where Half Price Books is? No. Do you know where Mary's is? Oh, yeah.
Stand at Mary's and throw a stone. You'll find it. Yeah.
Well, it's not there. Not Mary's.
Yeah.
But we've been waiting for this. And... I just, everyone, before, you know, I have to tell you, before we signed the lease, we did our homework. I talked to all the merchants in the area, and I asked a good, I shouldn't say every one of our customers, but a good sampling of our customers. And I said, do you think we do really well?
She's getting scientific on us.
And everyone said that when they made the switch to that area, to that storefront, their business doubled, at least doubled. Wow. Some of them, their business tripled. And so that's what we're hoping that it'll help us with, because, you know, we're stuck with some of these fixed costs that we have to pay for every month. And, you know, we don't get every grant we apply for. Actually, I had my worst grant writing year in history. So if there's any grant writers out there that want to help donate time, we could sure use some help. And but, you know, a lot of the local community supports us. Crew of Olympus, Kindred Spirits, Bayou City Boys Club has supported us. And Halloween Magic. Halloween Magic's been wonderful to us. So, you know, we need help in more ways than one. We need help answering the phones. We need help just sometimes if you just want to come in and just put your headset on and dust the floors, you know, something like that. Mm. Or help us unpack boxes. God, we need help doing that. Checking stuff in. Greeting customers like they do at Walmart, you know. And I'm just kidding. Welcome to the Buyers Club. But we're also probably going to be doing, I hate saying it like this, but probably letting the rest of Houston know that we're around. Mm-hmm. Because we get a lot of people that come in whose friends sent them in, they were, well, how come you don't advertise? How come you don't let the community know that you're here to help people? And so, well, you know, I think you'll be seeing us in the Houston press a little bit more, because we've discovered a cute little thing called co-op advertising, and that's going to help us. We advertise, you know, our home will always be Outsmart Magazine, but... you know, we also advertise in The Voice and The Triangle, so we're going to continue to do that. But we want to let the non-gay side of Houston know that we're around.
That there's actually a vitamin supplement store in Houston that's a nonprofit organization that doesn't take a 50,000% cut off the top.
Right. And speaking of the straight area of town, mm-hmm. I have a little comment about your comment earlier. I think they should have, and we were talking about this out in the lobby, out in the green room.
Such as it is.
You might want to spray out there. Okay. Too much green.
actually, I have never seen a green room that's actually green, but that's beside the point.
But I think they should have a show called Queer Eye for the Queer Guy. Because ever since I started shaving really slowly, I don't cut myself anymore. I learned that on there.
What, on Queer Eye?
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I would always, because I remember when the guy was shaving with product, and Kyan says, why do straight guys always, it's always a race to get the hair off their face. And I thought, oh my God, I wonder if that's why I always nick. And sure enough, that's what happens. And
it's because your skin isn't all smooth and soft and supple anymore.
And then I discovered the Olive Bar at a local health food store with lots of groceries. They had like 12 different olives, which I thought was really cool. And I'm learning how to cook a little bit. But yeah, they need to have one for Queer Eye for the Queer Guy, because I didn't get those jeans.
Yeah, well, there's several of us that didn't get the sort of fashion gene and the interior decorating. I definitely did not get the interior decorating part of my gene, because my house looks like an engineer lives in it, because guess what? One does.
Oh, who?
Me. So, yeah, you know, everything's square and sort of set off in symmetric. Never mind. So,
are y'all going to be part of, I mean, yeah, I'm just thinking, well, the Gay Pride Parade, mm-hmm. y'all organizing that? Is that part of your Queer Voices?
Well, yeah, we had a Jack. Didn't we have a presence in the parade last year?
KPFT does.
Yeah, KPFT does.
I think y'all should have someone from Queer for the Queer Guy come down from Queer Voices, and y'all need to have, you know, start that little trend.
Hmm. Okay. Well, Fred Walters from the Houston Buyers Club, which is closing down this week to move to open in a much better location, which is going to be where? Across from
Half Price Books.
Across from Half Price Books.